And Shkayach once again for the beginning of a new Zman to the musicians. They're so good at what they do, and the Olam sing so beautifully when we're getting together for Mishmar that I almost feel like it doesn't matter what I say. Our hearts and minds are open by the time I open my mouth, and I'm very, very grateful for the Ruach that helps to open our hearts. One of the things that we wish for in our learning and in our serving Hashem is that we would enjoy it more. I've heard from so many Talmidim this like yearning that clearly Gedolei Yisrael have a insatiable thirst for Torah. And I feel like I have to push myself. And I want to discuss tonight, based on coming out of Sukkos and based on Parshas Noach, I want to discuss an approach to enjoying Avodas Hashem that's different than what you've heard in the past. And perhaps it could be a foundation for you, and I'm hoping for this myself, to be able to experience a new dimension of simcha when I open my Gemara tomorrow morning or later tonight. The Gemara tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and there was all kinds of kailos and brakim, the Umay Sa'ilam were concerned. And their concern was, Shema mevi mabul la'olam. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing a mabul. As the Pasuk says, as we say by Kabbalah Shabbos, Hashem la mabul yashav. And they went to the greatest chacham amongst the Umay Sa'olam. They went to Bilam HaRasha. And Bilam told them, no. Vayeshev Hashem melech la'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is establishing himself as the king of the world. There's no mabul coming. Hashem oiz la'ama yite, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving his Torah to his nation. But that means that there was something going on when the Torah was given that felt mabul-like to the nations of the world. And that means that us going into Parshas Noach, we have to be oimid on that there's some kind of parallel here between the mabul and Matan Torah. Both of them are 40 days. There are perhaps other similarities, but what is this Hashem Lamabul Yashav? Late last night, one of my siblings pointed out to me, and I mentioned it to the Rosh Hashiva today, and he agreed, that Masechta Sukkah is unique, that it contains in it, besides for the sugyas of Sukkah, an unusual amount of sugyas about keeping mitzvahs in general. Like, for example, the sugya of Hiddur Mitzvah, or the sugya of Isaac B'Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. There are sugyas about mitzvahs. And he said that perhaps, he said B'Shem Reb Chaim Yitzchak Kaplan, and Chaim Yitzchak Kaplan is a Rebbe in Pachad Yitzchak, which is the yeshiva that I went to in Eretz Yisrael, and he's the Mashgiach of Chevron, of the Chevron yeshiva, that perhaps it has to do with the same thought process of the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Lulav, that the Rambam talks about the unbelievable simcha of Sukkos, and what's the last halacha in the Rambam about Hilchas, about the simcha of Sukkos, is that it's not just Sukkos, but that there is a chiyuv to have simcha in all the mitzvahs that we do. And that the simcha of Sukkos carries with it and infuses simcha into all of the mitzvahs that we do. And Reb Chaim Yitzchak Kaplan suggested that perhaps this is why in the Masechta of Sukkah, there is sugyas about kiyum ha-mitzvahs, because it kind of spills over into the kiyum of all of the mitzvahs. And the Rambam says there, that if a person is moineya atzmai, if a person holds himself back from experiencing simcha in serving Hashem, It's ro'oi lihipara mimenu. He is befitting to be punished. Very strong words. And the Rambam brings a raya from the Teichicha. It says in the Teichicha, why does Hashem bring this terrible, terrible, terrible punishment to Klal Yisrael? Tachas, asher lo yavad et Torah Hashem elokecha, b'simcha u'b'tov lev of meirov koil. Because you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with joy. In fact, I was at a bar mitzvah in Lakewood last night. My brother made a bar mitzvah. And he said over when he was speaking that the Medrash says that if you make a cheshbon every day of Sukkot, they brought 14 kvasim. They brought 14 sheep every day of Sukkot. 7 days, 14 sheep. How many sheep altogether?
98.
Says the Medrash, the 98 sheep are keneged, the 98 curses in the Teichicha. What is the night? What? So in other words, somehow, when we bring these 98 kvasim as karbanis on Sukkot, we're being misakein for the, we're being mechaper to avoid the 98 curses of the Teichicha. We're trying to avoid those curses, and we're mechaper by bringing these 98 karbanis. But why Sukkot? So he said, because the Teichicha comes because you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha. So which yantif should we be misakein? Should we be misakein that? Obviously, the yantif of Sukkot, the yantif of Simcha. But if you don't mind, unfortunately, as polite as I try to be, in the back of my mind is a part of me that could be extraordinarily cynical. I don't know if I'm the only one in the room that has that voice in the back of his head, but I carry you. You can't see him, but he's in there. His cynical voice. And I want to tell you what my cynical voice says when I learn a Rambam like that. And it took me a very long time to understand it and to be able to have what to say back to my cynical voice. As it were. My cynical voice says, HaKadosh Baruch, are you serious? You gave me 613 mitzvahs. You gave me countless mitzvahs derabbanan. You gave me countless minhagim that you told me to do. Chumras, dinim, halachas, mishtabruras, bir halachas. And I'm doing all those things. I'm just not doing it with a smile. And so you're going to kill me because of that? 98 curses? I'm doing the job. I'm a good servant. I'm doing what you told me to do. I have to work for you. And I have to work for you with a smile. And if I'm not smiling, that's it. Goodbye. Guys, thanks for listening. That was really good. Yashikayach. I feel so much better. Do you hear that? You hear that? What's this? I'm bringing the Teichicha, Tachas HaShalei Ovadetor, HaShem HaLekecha, B'Simcha, V'Tuv Levav, Meroiv Koil. And I am very besimcha that I discovered pshat, a deep pshat, but a pshat that's not too deep and too vague that we can't say it very clearly here today. And that it's not too deep and too vague that we can't use it and focus on it in our own lives. And believe it or not, we're traveling all over the Torah tonight. It's a geshmak. But we're going to take another little trip right now that we know that there was that in the times of Shmuel HaNavi, like we're learning in Navi, Be'ezer Hashem, we'll start to share next week. There was a time that the Plishtim went to war with Klal Yisrael and they captured the Aron HaKodesh. And from that time, the Aron HaKodesh was not in the Mishkan or Mikdash. And years later, David HaMelech presided over the return of the Aron HaKodesh to Yerushalayim. And David HaMelech made a fundamental mistake, a mistake that none of you would make. He took the Aron HaKodesh and he put it on a wagon and he sent it to Yerushalayim, even though the Torah says explicitly that the Aron should be carried on the shoulders of the Kayanim. And a terrible tragedy happened. The wagon started to fall apart. A Yid by the name of Uzzah reached out to catch the Aaron, and he died. Vayichar leDavid, the pasuk says. It was very painful for David. David understood that it was a punishment to him. What did David do wrong? Says the Gemara in Saita. That what David did wrong was that in Tehillim he wrote, Kapitel Kuf Yotes. You could look it up. David HaMelech wrote, Zmirois hayu li chukecha. Your halachos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are a song to me. Now I'm sure that many of you are thinking, like, did I just miss something? David HaMelech said, your laws are a song to me. That sounds like a good thing. That's what he was punished for? But somehow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very medactic in Chasidav with Tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt like there was something missing in the achrayas that David HaMelech was taking to Kabbalah Smitzes. Like, he wasn't taking his Kiyum HaTorah seriously enough. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hareini machshilcha. I am going to make you make a mistake. B'davar she'afilu tinoikos shel beis rabban yoyden oisai. About something that even children know. That they forget, you will forget the halacha of bakosei fiso. Listen, Rabbi Yisai, Chassam Sofer points this out. And others, which mitzvah did he forget? The mitzvah of carrying the arun. Kabbalas oil. Achrayas, responsibility. You're being too flippant, too, oh, I love it, it's songs to me. No, but it's also a responsibility. Now, there's got to be somebody here that says Tehillim often enough to tell me if Zmirois Hayli Chukecha is still printed in Tehillim. Yes. It is. Simcha says it is. Okay? So, if Simcha... If David HaMelech was punished for saying Zmirois Hayali Chukecha, wouldn't it have been wise to omit that pasuk from Tehillim? Yes. So clearly we have to understand that it was a nuance in Zmirois Hayali Chukecha that was bothersome to the Hashgacha that caused this punishment. And I want to explain that nuance to you. And the nuance goes like this. In life, there are necessities, and there are luxuries. Rav Huttner in the Shavuos Pachad Yitzchak, towards the beginning of the Sefer, he points out that usually the enjoyment we have from something goes down as the necessity for it goes up. Meaning, wine is very enjoyable and extremely not necessary to survive. Water is much less enjoyable than wine, but it is much more necessary to survive. Prime rib is very enjoyable, but it's very not necessary to survive. Bread and other basics are not as enjoyable, but they are very necessary to survive. There's this, what's it called? An inverse relationship between the level of pleasure and the level of necessity. Thank you. There's an exception. The exception... You guys are... One day when I decide to give a yeshiva shir, I will ask you, and you could chime in, Torah, every time I need a... we'll get there, okay? There's an exception to this rule. And that exception is... life. Life itself. For example, if somebody is starving and thirsty and wandering in the desert... and you walk over to that person who's thirsty, who's about to pass out from his parched, dried out mouth. And you take that bottle of water and you give him a bottle of water. When he drinks that water, will it taste like water or like wine? Neither. It will taste like the elixir of life. It will taste like something better than he's ever tasted in his entire life. There will be no pleasure in the world that comes to the feeling of that of that liquid that he drinks, correct? When you are being mekabel, when you are being infused, when you are being given actual life, there's nothing that gives more joy than that. The joy of being going mimaves l'chaim, the joy of breathing life, that is the ultimate, ultimate simcha. So it comes out, Rabbi Yisai, that there's really two ways to enjoy something. I could enjoy something because it's a luxury. I can enjoy something because it's my life. Torah, as these guys say. Torah. We say in Ma'ariv which one it is. We say, V'nismach b'divrei Torah secha. Why? Ki heim chayenu. Not because it's a luxury. Not because it's extra. Not because it's so geschmack, it's so enjoyable, that's so clever, so interesting. But because it is life. So we enjoy it, not because it's clever, interesting, fun, exciting. We enjoy it because we are being handed that glass of water with our parched mouths in the desert. That's why we enjoy it. V'nismach b'divrei sayrasecha ki heim chayenu. And that's why the Torah demands simcha from us. You know why? Because simcha, that's the answer to my rant. Simcha is the result of someone who realizes that he's being handed that glass of water in the desert. And the Torah wants us to understand that we have a responsibility to keep the Torah, to learn the Torah, to connect to the Torah, not because it is fun, interesting, a great idea, a great vibe, but because it is actual life. And if we will realize that, we will have simcha. You know, those of you that were there by Mincha today when I spoke, you'll be able to take that shmooze and click it together with this shmooze, like two Legos, okay? But you know that after the Mabel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that he's never going to bring a Mabel again. Kasher nishbata al mei noyach. The Svarim tell us, we're like, oh great, wow, that's great, wow, that's so geschmack, now Hashem won't bring a mabul. But we don't realize that that is extremely humiliating and embarrassing. Okay? So like, for example, let's say there would be somebody who would have a job that he, let's say Shimon over here, okay? So He plays music, okay? Let's say 1 week he wouldn't play the music so well, okay? So I would say, Shimon, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to play it anymore. You don't have to play it anymore. It's okay. Thursday nights, you could go home early. Is that a nice thing? I'm letting him off the hook. Now he doesn't have to do it. Think of all the things you could do at that time. No, being relieved of responsibility is not a compliment. It used to be before the Mabel that man had such responsibility. He can destroy the world or build the world. The world depends on him. And sure enough, he destroyed the world. So Hashem said, you know something, man? You don't have to do that job anymore. I am not going to destroy the world because of you. You're demoted. Your actions are not so powerful anymore. You hear that? That changed. That changed a few centuries later. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Klal Yisrael, the world does depend on you. If you don't learn Torah, the world will return to Tayu Vavayu. You do have responsibility to keep the entire world alive. All the shefa that comes into this world is because of you. Everything that happens will come through your Torah and your mitzvahs. The world shook when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that. You know what the Goyim thought? Hashem la mabul yashav. Because they were right. Because there was something mabul-like happening. Responsibility was being handed back to man. But we, unlike the Dor HaMabul, are capable of accepting that responsibility and understanding that my connection to Torah is not just a question of fun, enjoyable, I'm interested. This is my connection to the actual Chaim of life, the purest form of life. And it's my connection to that. And when I engage in Torah, I bring that life into this world. I'll never forget the very, very, very first time I taught Talmidim Divrei Agada like this. It was about 25 years ago. We moved to Waterbury. And in certain ways, in the last 25 years, Rabbi Kalish hasn't changed a bit. Certain ways he has, certain ways he hasn't. But in this way, he didn't. He hasn't changed at all. And that is that Thursday night, he was just like, okay, here's what we're doing. And he's younger than me. You know, we had just started yeshiva, young Galite. He's like, we have 30 guys in this yeshiva. We just started a new yeshiva. We have 30 guys in this yeshiva. Everybody's taking some guys to their house. We're going to have Thursday night chaburas. Everyone go home and say Torah. And I was coming from Kail. I didn't know what he was like. What am I? The guys are going to come sit around my dining room table. What should I say to them? But he was confident. And a group gathered around my dining room table. And I remember that there was a bacher, I still remember who it was, that showed up to that Thursday night chabura. The Thursday night chaburas for years became like a big part of the Waterbury yeshiva. I used to stay up with the bacher until 12, 1 in the morning, going through divrei machshava. I used to, if any of you guys are interested, we could do this one time. I used to give a shmooze where I would ask 13, 14, 15 questions on the parsha, and then explain yesodis and go back and answer all the questions with that. Okay? It was a journey. Okay? In any event, so this guy sits down with his notebook and he goes, you know, he was like really excited and just back from Israel and he, I need this. And I remember it hitting me, his attitude. I need this. That's v'nismach b'divrei Seirasecha. I need this. We too often think that the joy of learning is because, wow, this kasha is enjoyable. And by the way, I have some news for you. When you plug in and start enjoying learning, the kasha is enjoyable. It actually is prime rib. Okay? But it doesn't start with that. It starts sometimes with, I need this. It's a hechrich for me. My life must have a connection to Torah. My future must be built on knowing Torah. I will settle for no less than being a Talmud Chacham. Being a Talmud Chacham is not a luxury to me. It's a necessity to me. I am going to do what it takes to be a Talmud Chacham, to know Torah. I need this. Hashem Lamabel Yashav, the Achrayus is on my shoulders. And when that happens, and you set out to get it, and you will be able to get it, and you will be successful, especially the guys in this room, because we're, Kenai Nahara, a very talented, intelligent yeshiva, but any Ben Taira that sets his mind to it, you will feel, on some level, I'm not saying that everything hits immediately, but you will feel a different type of simcha, not the simcha of a fancy restaurant in Manhattan, a simcha of, I need this, and I have it. I'm connected to something big, and I did it. I plugged into it, and it's here, and it's real. I got it. And that simcha, it's maybe a more subtle simcha. It's a very deep simcha. It's not necessarily a dancing around the table kind of simcha. It's more just like a certain confidence and joy that you carry with you. I need this, and I know what to do about it, and I'm going to get it, and it's going to be mine. And that's my bracha and my ending of this getting into Parshas Noach, that we should all of us, myself included, because I still have so much to learn, that we should be able to absorb the reality that we have an achrayus here. We need this. This is life, and we need this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us clarify for ourselves. V'nismach v'divrei sayrasecha uv'mitzvaysecha la'olam v'ed. Why? Ki heim chayenu, because that is our life. Yashar koyach.